now.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Monday. What a weekend we had, and I'll talk about that. I'll talk about that even more, but right now I have a special guest on. So you're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ and 101.3. Making sure my guest can hear me. Kev, you got me? Okay. Interesting. Kev, can you hear me? Well, I've got me, but I don't have Kev. Let's go there. Kev, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, there we go. Hey, it takes a while. I've been out of studio up at Newton for way too long. So how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing really well. You went up this, the race, the speedway up there?
I did. We had a good time. It was exciting. For all those folks out there that don't understand all the things that Hy-Vee does, man, did they put on a good show, and it was a ton of fun. So I should introduce. So it's Mr. Kevin O'Hare. He is the freshman basketball coach at Dowling. He's an assistant head coach at Dowling, a friend of the program, and someone that I always talk to about basketball. Hadn't talked to him for a while, so just wanted to bring him in. So what you been up to, bub?
Not much. Just a lot of work, a lot of basketball stuff, playing some golf when I can, and looking forward to football season. Obviously, the Maroons had a good little run there baseball-wise. Fell short, tough game the other night. But I guess turn the page, and now we all got football to look forward to.
Yeah, it was. It was fun to watch that. Once again, you know, the simple fact that some of these things are you know, so you can watch it all over. We were down at the lake on one of those nights too. We went down with Jamie Gipple and his family. So I was down there with Emma and Michael and all those guys, and had all three of my boys were down there too. So we had a good time down at the lake as well. But you get to see those things live now, and it's clear as a bell, and it's just a lot of fun to be able to watch them.
Yeah, it really is. And obviously anytime you can't get to the live sporting thing or whatever, it's always nice to kind of have a really good fallback plan. So they do a really good job with it.
Okay, so one of the main reasons that I gave you a call today, this is how special basketball is right now in the state of Iowa, and how exciting I think the next two or three years are going to be. They introduced some stuff for Nike. Phil Knight Invitationals went out, and I'll give you the women's field first, because that's the one I was going to talk to you about. But so you have Iowa State, Michigan State, North Carolina, and Oregon in one bracket that's playing each other. And the other, you have, this is the one, right? You have Duke, Iowa, Oregon State, and UConn in the other. Talk about women's basketball early season. Come on.
Right. I love it. I mean, we're done with, like, there's no cupcakes. We don't have the cupcake schedule where every great team goes 5-0 before they get into December or whatever. Let's right out of the gate. Let's play for something that means a little something. And I think it's great that they have these. You know, the men's have been doing it for a little while, where they, the Kentuckys and the Kansases and Dukes and Michigan State, they all play together in Chicago against one another. And so I love the fact that the women's are doing these types of tournaments, and you know, if everything, you know, if chalk runs itself, right, you're going to see some really exciting matchups between some really great players and teams. So it's really exciting.
Here's the men's side in the Phil Knight Invitational: Alabama, Iowa State, Michigan State, North Carolina, Oregon, Portland, UConn, and Villanova. And the other side is Duke, Florida, Gonzaga, Oregon State, Portland State, Purdue, West Virginia, and Xavier. I mean, talk about getting some games
in. It's like a Sweet 16.
Yes.
It's like a Sweet 16 out of the gate.
It just shows, too, that, you know, in talking about all these schools you know, you're getting these conference movements, and it's going to happen. There's nothing that we can do about it. If you like it, you don't like it. I think it's already the train's already off the rails. It's heading that way. But that's one of those things that Oregon has that caveat that not very many schools do, and that is they're pretty good at sports. I mean, they haven't gone to that over the top good at sports. But when you have somebody like Phil Knight with Nike, money's no option in putting these things together. And it's you know, I think all these college coaches will probably tell you it's not ideal to play these games early in the year, but for the sport, I think it's needed, and it just gets you ready for the end of the year.
Yeah, I agree. And I would have, you know, initially I would have said I don't think coaches, you know, might be as excited as players or other people. I would agree for the longest time with that. I almost think now that coaches do kind of look forward to a degree where they can kind of just see where they're at. And granted, it's, you know, first week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks of the year, but they're obviously going to have a lot of practice under their belt. They're going to have some summer workouts under their belt. Now they're going to get to go compete. You know, it's tough to see how you are matched up when you play, unfortunately, an inferior team or someone that's not as good as you. So now they're going to have these top-notch programs where they can at least see where they stack up against others. Then you can take all that film and all that feedback and all that stuff, and you can go back to work and you can get ready for your conference play and all that stuff. So I think deep down, in a weird way, some of these coaches are kind of excited about it to use it for that standpoint only, just to see how they stack up, where they are, what they need to do, because they've got some really good teams that they can use that information for.
Once again, we're talking to Coach Kevin O'Hare right here on Steen on Sports on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. When we're looking at Iowa State went through some rebuilding last year, and I had this conversation this weekend at a couple of different events, and they're talking about, you know, when your teams go through, you know, either they lose a bunch of players or they have this new group coming in, and I kind of get this inside a little bit because of different things with the Iowa State program. When you have someone that coaches like TJ does, and it's defensive or orientated, and offense is going to come along, or you have a team that's full of offense and your defense has to come along, I wanted to get your opinion. Which one, and I think you can get wins out of both, which one's easier if your defensive philosophy is already there and you have to work on offense, or if your offense philosophy is already there and you have to work on defense?
Gosh, that's a good question. I'd rather have my defense set and have everything in place there. I think offense is a little tougher to teach. And again, that's a huge skill set that, you know, a lot of guys have to have, and you have to be on the same page. And, you know, you take shots and you hope they go in. Like, you don't have a whole lot of control over the shots that you're taking, whether they go in or not. You hope that all the work you put in off seasons and over the years and everything translates to a great reward. But again, at the end of the day, if you shoot 40% from the field, that's considered really good, right? Because it's hard. And 40%, if you think about it, in theory, is not great. So I just think if you have your defense in place, all your principles and philosophies are set, you can do a lot of things to create some easier offense. And whether that be transition, get out, get a steal, or get in a passing lane, or get a big rebound and quick outlet and stuff like that, that's going to lead to a lot of good offense. Where you get to the half-court sets and stuff, that can be a little more challenging depending on your team and your personnel and stuff like that. So I think I would rather have my defense ready, locked in and ready to go. And then hopefully and gradually through time and practices, our offense comes around.
I think I'm in agreement there too. And it's here's the really funny thing too. It's much easier, I believe, to work on your defense in a fast moving practice. You know, you don't have to, it's just not about getting shots up. That's what I'm hoping from all these kids, and I'm talking from freshmen all the way up. You have to get shots in, right? That's the one thing. That's the only way to become a better shooter is to shoot more. To become a better defensive player, you have to show you have to be in shape and you have to show toughness. You can work on that every practice, but having that baseline for kids coming in and be able to. I mean, you watch some games, and I'm talking NBA games. This may be a high number. There's 40% of the players in the NBA that I don't know if I'd trust shooting a 15-foot jump shot, and that's crazy.
Right. Well, and then again, the game, of course, is, you know, at the rim or behind the 3-point line. But I'm with you on that. I mean, I would have a hard time trusting a lot of people with that mid-range jumper. And you think to yourself, these guys should have done it their whole lives. They're getting paid X dollars. How do they consistently miss it from 15 feet? But I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, it's just, and I get it. When it's easy for me to talk about it now that I've coached and stuff. I'm almost positive. I tell my kids this all the time. I wouldn't have wanted to play for me either. So, I mean, my expectations were a lot different coaching young men than it was when I was being coached. And I wish I would have had someone helping me with that thought process, because it matters. And the crazy thing about it, Coach, and this is one of the reasons why I have you on all the time, because you've gotten to do that. You've gotten to change kids' lives, maybe not in basketball, but in lives. And I don't think in the time that I was growing up that I ever had somebody that I connected with on a basketball court. And I think it's much easier to do that now, but it is very important. And speaking of which, you have that connection with Caitlin, getting to work out with her, you know, just taking her through her daily stuff. I have Randy Wehofer, who's the vice president, assistant general manager of ICUMS, comes in once a week. And he was impressed isn't the right word for when he had Caitlin Clark come to the iCubs game. He just said she is, how did he put it? She's like an old soul. You know, it's she's not, you know, she deeply cared about being there. She deeply cared about, you know, making sure all these kids got to see her or parents or get pictures. On the court and off the court, that matters. And I just, to tell the audience, just how much do you think that matters for her that she's able to do that on the court too?
You know, I think it's huge. And, you know, again, it's building your brand nowadays that you hear people talk about. But to just echo what you said, that's who she is. She loves that aspect of it. And again, people have paved the way for her. And so she's trying to do the same for younger kids. And So to touch on that or to echo that, I had a group of girls that were in town this weekend for an AU tournament from Milwaukee, and my buddy's daughter was on the team. So they came over and hung out, and they're all Caitlin fans, and a couple of them had her jersey on and blah, blah, blah. I just shot her a quick text and said, hey, these girls would love to hear from you. Can we do a quick FaceTime? And she goes, I'd love to, but I'm getting ready to go to the golf course. Can I send you a video? You know, to wish him luck and to talk to him and blah, blah, blah. So she sent over a 2-minute video, you know, and I'm sure she does that more than any of us ever know, but she's always happy to come over and during workouts and have girls come over and sign autographs and take pictures. And I mean, she does it a lot, but you know, we'll do it over at the Kios is where workouts go, and people will come in after her workouts and they'll just come down to the gym and she'll spend 5, 10, 15 minutes talking to them and getting to know them a little bit and taking pictures and signing autographs. And again, sending the videos, the recordings, and doing FaceTimes and things like that. Like, she loves it. Again, people have paved the way for her to be excited about it. When she was younger, she's trying to do the same and give back, and she's just really good about it.
And it just shows. I mean, and it comes from parenting. It comes from all of that, and just being able to. I mean, she's had, you know, she's had competition in her life for a long time, and so stuff like that matters. I know that they were extremely happy with her up at Newton Raceway. You know, she saw Mitch Holtis. I mean, there's just a lot of the work she's doing for Hy-Vee. When I get, you know, sometimes you worry about what some of these kids might do with their name, image, and likeness and everything. I think that she has like a down to earth name, image, and likeness, what she wants to do, and partnering up with Hy-Vee, man, that was a really good idea.
Yeah, huge. And again, they've obviously done a really good job, whether it be with Harrison Barnes, Mahomes, others as well. But just a good place to put your name and your face if you're her, and vice versa. I mean, obviously they're huge here. They're becoming bigger and bigger everywhere, obviously, but They do a great job. She does a great job for them, and I think it was a perfect fit, just that hometown feel and everything. And again, she could, as we all know, you know, she could sign any deal she wants and do all these things. And but she picks and chooses a few here and there. And she's not trying to do, you know, everything that comes her way. She wants to make sure that it ties to, you know, her beliefs and her thoughts and all that stuff. And so she's with Brent and Ann, her parents, behind her all the way and everything. They just do a really good job of deciding what's best for her.
Okay, I got one more quick question for you. We got about a minute. So once again, we're talking to Coach Kevin O'Hare, freshman basketball coach at Dowling, assistant varsity coach as well. Iowa State has one of their best recruiting classes coming in for next year that they've had in a long, long time with a lot of talent. What's the chances they may get to add one to that?
So I think it's high. My sources who have been wrong many a times in their lives tell me that it could be high. I think we're here this week. I don't know at all where he will choose, but I'm sensing he's going to go to Iowa State. I'll let you throw the name if you want, but I've sensed that he's going to go to Iowa State. We'll see this week, I think.
You know, and I think that's smart on his part too, is, you know, keeping it as quiet as you can. It's a lot, and I get it for these kids. It's so much, and they're so young that's hard. Coach, as always, I love that you jumped on. I appreciate it, buddy. Enjoy.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. Talk to you soon.
Bye. That was Coach O'Hare coming on. I always appreciate when he gives me some time. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk to Real Sports Fans.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700. The Champ lives and breathes Iowa sports. Steen on Sports. 1700. The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Monday. I hope everybody's having a great day. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day, right here on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. What a weekend. What a weekend. I did, Scott and I did happy hour sports with Steen and Scott at the track on Friday night, drove down to the lake for Saturday, got up early Sunday morning, went back to the track, got to see a lot of cool things. It was an amazing weekend, and I want to thank Newton Raceway. It was so much, it was just so much fun that it's just hard to believe how good a time was had by everybody there. Tim McGraw, unbelievable. The Florida Georgia line, unbelievable. Gwen Stefani, unbelievable. And then finishing off with Blake Shelton, whatever. I don't know what, if you like country music, you don't like country music. I don't know what all, you know, the music that you like, but you have to like this guy. He put on an amazing show and spent a lot of time up there, and you have to love that. Thanks to Hy-Vee, thanks to Cumulus for getting us up there. Thanks to Hy-Vee for having us up there. It was just a lot of fun. A lot of outdoors, a lot of talking. I've got allergies going on. My view's screaming all weekend. I have that going on. I have to do this. So Anne Fishgren, who, okay, did I say Newton Speedway again? See, I already got corrected. Thanks, Scotty. It's Iowa Speedway in Newton. It's hard to break myself from saying that. Anne Fishgren is the general manager there. She was on the show with us on Friday. I met up with her a few times over the weekend too, and enjoyed the visit. Going to have her I'm going to send out, I wanted to give her a day off today. I'm going to send her out an email so she can come on the show and talk about all the things that happened up there at Newton this weekend and at Iowa Speedway. So, man, it was an easy in, easy out. Both times that the one time that Scott and I were up there, the one time that we came home, I mean, it was easy peasy, man. So it was a great event. Highlight of my of the event for me, I got to meet and talk to Paul Wahlberg, the originator of Wahlburgers. It was very enjoyable. Didn't get to see Mark, but got to see him, and that was kind of cool. Spent some time with him. A great guy. We talked about all kinds of stuff and appreciated that. But overall, it was just a great weekend. And as long as Hy-Vee is sponsoring and taking care of things, it's just like their stores, man. It was on time. Boom, 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 boom. Everybody, I mean, it was, I can't think of, I was trying to think, you know, you hate coming on a show and, you know, I would never want to come on a show. If something was really bad, I would try to find something, you know, to talk about. On this, you know, so people would buy in. You know, maybe you have to try to think of something, but I can't think of any. I mean, plenty of restaurants. I mean, there was the heat. Okay, there you go. It was really hot. On Friday, it was hot. It was loud. Okay, one negative. If you're going to have a live radio show, maybe we're not next to a music stage. That made it kind of, it made it difficult for Scott and I to hear. I listened to the program, and the program was perfect. It was just hard to hear. So there, that of all the things this weekend, none. I mean, it was so incredibly awesome. So once again, thanks to Iowa Speedway, Hy-Vee, the Racing League, everybody. It was, what a show. The drivers are incredible. They spend a lot of time and a lot of energy, you know, interacting with fans. It matters. If you're going to have something like this, it matters. You have to be able to spend your time. People have to be able to relate to you, and I think they did a great job with that. I also want to thank sponsors of this show. Des Moines Orthopedic, Heritage Building Maintenance Fund, Heritage Building Maintenance, Woodman Controls, iCubs, Northwest Bank, and Palmer Group. I couldn't do this stuff without them. Coming up, and I'll talk about more this week as well, I'm playing in a, it's for homeless veterans. It's Monday, August 1st, so a week from today. And it's at the Legacy Golf Club, and it is for Central Iowa Shelter and Services, CISS, is hosting our fifth annual for homeless veterans golf outing, benefiting the homeless U.S. veterans that are staying with us in our emergency shelter. By participating in this event, you are supporting a mission to provide homeless veterans an opportunity to grow, rebuild, and find their dignity again. The fund raised helped to maintain all 150 beds at the emergency shelter, provide street outreach, and cook over 600 nutritious meals each day for many of our veterans. These services are the first steps towards stability and self-sufficiency, and it is what we should be doing. We don't want them to fall through the cracks. That's not what we want. That's not what they deserve, and it's very difficult. And I'm glad that we're trying to do as much as we can to help with that. Let's see, am I missing anything here? I don't think so. Sports news. Wow. There's some things going on. You know, let's just try to take a couple of them at a quick glance here. The Chicago mayor, and it's Mayor Lightfoot, I do believe, had some plans on getting a dome over Soldier Field. So for those of you that don't know, the Bears have played at Soldier Field for a while, and they're thinking about moving to a different place. And the city is trying to keep them in Soldier Field by coming up with a, when you look at it, and it is Mayor Lightfoot. When you take a look at what they want to do, it seems really cool. It's a lot. And it says it's a construction of a dome stadium that could cost anywhere from $900 million to $2.2 billion. She said that that would be laid out three options for construction of a dome. First would fully enclose the stadium by rebuilding both end zones with columns that can support a dome structure. The second will require both end zones to be rebuilt with columns to make the stadium dome ready. The third option calls for modifications to make Soldier Field a multi-purpose stadium to host soccer games, while also making it a viable location to accommodate major concerts and a huge range of events. I think this might be further down the road than what she wants to believe about moving. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, Chicago Bears and the NFL, it needs to be viable. The Arlington Park agreement, it's owned by Churchill Downs. I think that's probably going to be the steps that they take. It'll be, I don't know how much power the mayor of Chicago has, where I guess we're going to find out. So I think some of the issues that she's going to have is the citizens of Chicago, when you're talking about spending that much money with some of the other issues that they have in Chicago, probably isn't the best idea. So it'll be, you're going to have some ups and downs with that, I would assume. So it'll be interesting. One of the things that I was talking to Coach O'Hare about, and I wanted to, I just find this fascinating. So on November 27th, they're going to, ESPN's going to have men's and women's championship games televised on ESPN. It's the Phil Knight Invitational. So in the men's field, on one side is Alabama, Iowa State, Michigan State, North Carolina, Oregon, Portland, UConn, and Villanova. You take out Portland, but Portland is a huge benefactor of this because of Phil Knight. Nike started in Portland, Oregon. Grassroots of it in Portland, Oregon. On the other side of that men's field, and they'll have their own little championship thing, is Duke, Florida, Gonzaga, Oregon State, Portland State, Purdue, West Virginia, and Xavier. Once again, Portland State gets in because of the Phil Knight legacy part of that. On the women's field, on one side is Duke, Iowa, Oregon State, and UConn, stacked. On the other side is Iowa State, Michigan State, North Carolina, and Oregon, stacked. There's some high-quality team matchups. There's some high-quality individual matchups. The biggest four local people here is, once again, Paige Beckers and Caitlin Clark, you know, going at it to see who's the best basketball player. And see, I say that. I've already had this argument with Alea Boston in the center and all the talent and Paige Beckers and all this. Paige Beckers, Caitlin Clark are the two most popular players in NCAA basketball, men's or women's. To see them meet would be extremely fun. Iowa State with a great draw as well. On the women's side, to be with Michigan State, North Carolina, and Oregon, having their allotment of players that are coming back with the, you know, it's just the Jones sisters. It's going to be incredible as well. Women's college basketball in this state and in this country this coming year is going to be incredibly good because there is a lot of talent coming back. It's going to be very exciting to watch everybody play. So I've been looking forward to seeing that, and it's kind of cool that it's going to come to fruition. I just wanted to also, you know, you have to give other people credit too. Sound Off has said the same thing. Mark Freund has said the same thing. Some other stations have said the same thing. You just can't thank Hy-Vee enough for what they did this weekend. I mean, you can't walk into Iowa Speedway and not know that it's a Hy-Vee sponsored event. So there's number one. I had somebody send me a text just saying that as much as I just said, maybe I didn't say enough. And so I'm even adding more. I thought the individuals that were working there were amazing. I thought the food, the 50 food trucks and everything. And if you I don't know how you could visit even half of them because there's just too much food, but every single thing worked. And when stuff like that happens, you know, the thing that I thought is, man, how are you going to get all these people in and out and still going to be able to maneuver? It was done. I mean, you just did it. You were in, you were out, and it was easy. You had tractors with trailers bringing people in and out and up and down. I mean, it was incredible. So, once again, I thought I did enough, but I had somebody say that I needed to do more. So I'm going to keep on doubling down. I'll talk about it a lot. One of the things that we talked about a little bit on Friday, didn't have a lot of time to do that, Scott and I, we were talking about the Live Tour, the LIV Tour, Live Tour, however you want to say it, and how they're trying to grow and get more people. And Charles Barkley was on many radio stations today talking about it. He talked about it with Dan Patrick on Friday, saying, listen, I'm not going to listen. Because, as Charles says, this isn't about everybody else. It's about me. And it's about what's best for my family, what's best for me, what I can do, what I can't. He goes, but I have certain dollar amounts that are, you know, that would need to be met for me to break relationships with people that I love and consider to be family. But there's always a dollar amount. There's a dollar amount for your livelihood that you don't pass up on. And you know, that somebody had said, you know, what if they offered you $20 million a year? And he goes, I would already be there if they were going to offer me $20 million a year. So it's going to be very interesting to see what shows up with the live tour and all of that. I think in time, I think the PGA handled it not the best. If you were coming out to say that you shouldn't be doing it because of where the money's coming from, man, that's a slippery slope that you do. You have gas companies, you have oil companies that do stuff for the PGA Tour that sponsor these events. So we'll talk more about this. I just had some interesting conversations about it this weekend, and none of them related to golf, which was really interesting. So you're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. I'll be back right after this break.
100 The Champ, Central Iowa's home for sports talk radio. Steen on Sports, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Monday. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ. At Steen on Sports. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ, and the website 1700thechamp.com. This segment will be brought to you by Heritage Building Maintenance. Founded in the Midwest in 2011, provide quality, health-centric building maintenance. They believe the cleaning industry should provide the first line of defense and proper health care, always looking for the right process to provide the highest quality, safest, and most healthy environment for your employees, your tenants, no matter where you're at. We are certified partners in science-proven microbial control, the state-of-the-art protection to keep their environments safer and more healthy for occupants of buildings. They take care of those on the touch points by doing spraying on there, the the antimicrobial items. It's been successful. So if you are looking for something like that, you can check out Heritage Building Maintenance. I love having being a part of the program. Okay, so some crazy things today. Let's start with one, and it's somebody that I probably think more highly of than what seems maybe his team or some fans. I don't know, but Kyler Murray had some interesting verbiage put into his contract. Now I'm going to make sure that I get this. Okay. And a lot of people have explained today, you know, contracts are about give and take, you know, how you do all this. One of the things that's in his contract is, and this contract was for $230.5 million. I think it's $168 million guaranteed. There is an addendum in there that requires 4 hours of independent study per game week. Okay, the simple fact that that's in the contract and you put it in the contract and maybe you're worried about public opinion on signing Kyler Murray to a line. I mean, seriously, if you thought that you had to put that he has to have with when, and this says in there 4 hours of independent study per game week with no video games, no, just sitting down and studying whatever they considered to be independent study of the game coming up. Okay, there were some people that already said out there, pundits, TV guys, radio guys, that maybe Kyler Murray, does he have all the intangibles to play quarterback? Probably more than 75% of people in the NFL. I don't think you can underestimate that. But one of the things was how committed to playing football, how committed to his craft, how committed to all of that is he really? Now, I'm not one who sits here and goes, well, you know, he's been in the league for a few years now. He's had some injuries. Well, he's never had a stable line. He's never had a completely healthy stable of receivers. Cliff Kingsbury is coaching him in the NFL, who I don't even know ever had might have had a 500 season in college football. There's a lot of things, but you had to put in his contract that he is to get 4 hours of independent study time for game weeks. I have a hard time going on the radio now saying that I think Kyler Murray, I would have him in the top. He has I sound like that movie. He has a specific skill set that a lot of people don't have. He has a cannon for an arm. He's not very big, so that's cumbersome, but he can move. He gets out of trouble. He throws the ball. There are times that he's probably not as accurate as he could be. Now, if this little thing doesn't cause a rift between everybody and he spends more time on his craft, there are football players, basketball players, baseball players, athletes in general that don't spend enough time on their craft. Even though you have people telling you to do that. I used to do that when I was playing sports in high school. Man, you have to do this. Man, I rolled out of bed, grabbed a Diet Coke and a Pop-Tart and went to practice and went and go. Now, I wasn't anywhere near any of these talent, but you have people. I had people that worked harder, and I had people that did things more. Sometimes it got them more playing time. Sometimes it didn't. Winning, scoring, playing defense got you playing time. Not always knowing every play and not hustle and being a a bad dude on defense got me plenty of playing time. And then that was it. If I prepared like I prepare for this, oh man, I'd probably been okay. I just think that 200. So I just, you know, I take that and put it down at a level that maybe all of us here listening on the radio could be. Let's take that down to $230,000 and you're in a job interview with principal. And the one thing they're going to put in your contract is that you have to spend 4 hours a week making sure your paperwork's done correctly. You're not paying somebody $230,000 if you have to worry if they can get their paperwork done correctly. It seems not a good idea that got out in public. Wow. Or got added in there. You can't put that on an addendum on the bottom and go, oops, we forgot to put that page in the contract so everybody can see. I am flabbergasted at the least that it is so public so quickly. I would, as a radio talk show host, I'm telling the Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray, they need to call a press conference and say, listen, we put that in there because, you know, maybe we wanted to change the way that we do things and that's not how we did things. And we wanted to make sure that it was spelled out in the contract. You have to do something. You have to show that there's not a rift between you and him because you put that into his contract. Now, if you put that into his contract and by doing so guaranteed him another $30 million, then Kyler Murray needs to shut the heck up. He hasn't said a word that I know of. And we all need to shut up. Because if that was one of the things, hey, he was negotiating. Listen, I think I do a good job doing how I do. And if you want me to make that bigger commitment, then you make a bigger commitment to me. They didn't guarantee the whole contract. It's not Deshaun Watson. Hey, guess what? And Kyler Murray has nothing in his background that they should be taking a step back going, oh, man, he's won some big games. And when he's protected and he has his weapons, he wins games. Kyler Murray, being whatever his record is, has more to do with the Arizona Cardinals than it does with Kyler Murray, I believe. That is a whole different story when you're talking about Deshaun Watson and the things that you knew going in, and you still did what you did. So if you are a Houston Texan fan today and you're making – or Houston Texan fan – that's where he came from. If you're a Cleveland Brown fan and you're making fun of Kyler Murray today, stop. You know you can't do that. You're out. You're out of that equation. I got about a minute left in this segment, and I saw this just 2 seconds ago. Through his first 50 career starts as a pitcher, in his first 500 games as a hitter, Shohei Ohtani has more strikeouts than Jacob DeGrom, a lower ERA than Gerrit Cole, more home runs than Ted Williams did at that same time, and more RBIs than Ken Griffey Jr. Those are four of some of the greatest players of all. I mean, Jacob DeGrom, if without injuries, would be a solidified Hall of Famer. Gerrit Cole has done some amazing things. He's won a lot of games. Ken Griffey Jr. is one of the 10 best players of all time. Ted Williams is even higher in that than that. And that's where he's at. Every time I see my boys or I see people that we had baseball as a common thing, either with our kids or when I was growing up or whatever, I always bring him up because I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to quantify how good. I don't care if he can't play baseball after tomorrow. What he has done, no other human ever has done. Because we're not even talking about stolen bases and speed and a cannon for an arm from the outfield. All those other things. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ AM. 101.3 FM. I'll be back right after this break.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3.